So praise the Lord for that. I could be without hair, so I am thankful. What a beautiful place. I have never been here before. I've been in Michigan many times. Some of you might know my partner, Chef Mark Anthony. Our studio is actually in Michigan since we moved it here last year. We are actually updating and actually making a different set, so we have two studios now. We do film and provide cooking programs for Loma Linda Broadcasting Network, Smart Lifestyle TV, Better Life TV, Good News TV, and iFood TV, and we both film for Three Angels Broadcasting Network. So we're busy, but I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I used to work for that company that always said, "Can you hear me now?" I worked in the corporate world for 7.5 years making a six-figure income. And I left that corporate world and that great money to do God's work. And I loved it today when she was reading the story about the gentleman with his tithe and how he was working for the Lord. Because when I worked for the world, I was sick, unhealthy, and my finances, I never had enough. Six-figure income, I never had enough. And I went to work for the Lord making nothing. I haven't had a sick day since. That was worth it all. I love it. It started out that I was helping somebody who had had a heart attack at the age of 49. The first heart attack. Second heart attack they had at the age of 50. And the third heart attack they had at the age of 60. And there was a little church in Fredericktown, Ohio, with a pastor by the name of Mark Howard. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Pastor Mark Howard. And they were having a cooking, a four-day cooking program there to help people to maybe have better health. So I thought, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to take this person to this cooking class that maybe they, too, would understand a little bit about health. And maybe they could adhere to some of those health laws and get their health back. Now, me being a second-generation Seventh-day Adventist, I knew it wasn't anything I needed because, see, I was a vegetarian. At the time that I took this person to that cooking school, I weighed in excess of over 265 pounds. I wore a size 26. I said in excess because I think I tilted the scale somewhere about 285, actually. I'm still a work in progress. I have 30 pounds to lose, but I've lost over 118 pounds. Amen. And it's not just about the weight, folks. I had type 2 diabetes. I was taking a heart medication for 22 years at that time. I had high cholesterol and severe hypertension. And I was taking that person to a seminar for health because I was oblivious to the fact that I was the one who was in need. Folks, I think a lot of times it's more than just myself. You know, denial has been my best friend for years. Every time I looked into that mirror and I seen myself, you know what I'd say? I'm not that bad yet. Now, I lost a father at the age of 56 with type 2 diabetes and congestive heart failure, both which are lifestyle diseases. I lost a brother at the age of 45 with type 2 diabetes and congestive heart failure, and his twin died at the age of 55 with type 2 diabetes and congestive heart failure. And I was fatter and sicker than all of them. I had no idea that the food I was putting in my mouth was dictating my death. And I don't think most of us do, honestly, because I sure see a big, fat, sick world out there. I met my husband It's almost been 2 years now, honey. And because he called me, he said, you know, I'm experiencing some health problems. I've always been pretty active. I played football in high school. I was always trim. I was a jogger. I've put on weight, and I've been trying really hard to get it off. Is there something you can do to help me? I think you have something to do with food. See, I am a chef. I'm a plant-based chef, and I'm also a plant-based nutritionist. And I said, yeah, I think I might be able to, so we started talking. He was taking high blood pressure medication. He was taking medication for type 2 diabetes, and he was taking medication for cholesterol. I said, man, this is all fixable. We can take care of every bit of this. You can do it all with food. See, folks, if food got you there, food has to get you back. Medication will not do that. Medication will treat your symptoms, but it will not cure your lifestyle disease. Only lifestyle can do that. Since we've been married, my husband is medication-free. He's lost 66 pounds total, and he's 71 years old. It doesn't matter what your age. It doesn't matter what your health is, folks. You can start today. I'm in my 60s, and honestly, I still have weight to lose. My husband has, we've got like 50 pounds between us to lose. But you know what? We feel good. We do not have to count on any medication anymore. It's gone. I was struggling, though. It was the time that I was praying to the Lord, what do you want me to do? What is it, Lord, that you would have me to do for you? Here I was in my late 50s. I'd never really served God the way I felt like God wanted me to serve him. I never had that close relationship to him, that where you get up in the morning, you feel his presence. And all during the day, you feel his presence because you're in that constant communication with him. And I was just thriving on it. I wanted it. And I was praying, and I was studying, and I was reading. And God was starting to open up my heart and my mind. And I made a mistake to some people. But I said, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. I'm your servant. I am ready to serve you. I have no qualities that I know of. I have no gifts. There is nothing that I possess that I know of to help do whatever it is you want me to do in my life, but I'm willing. Use me. Never, never ask God to do that unless you're willing to do it. Because he will take you places you would have never guessed you would go. He will use you in a way that you would never expect that you could do it. Because we can't without him. And when I left that corporate world, I know people thought I'd lost my mind. I had a great income. I had great benefits. I had the best insurance in the world. And I can tell you I did because I used it all the time. And the day I walked away, I felt better just by walking away because I knew I had something. I knew there was something there that God was leading me. And I had people close to me say, what are you going to do? You know, you've got this high blood pressure. You got all these problems. I'm like, God will take care of me. And he has. He has. I started doing seminars. I started going to churches. People started calling me, asking me if I'd help them. One thing led to another, to where I was starting to book up throughout the United States in different churches. I had met Chef Mark Anthony. We started doing things together at 3ABN. They asked me to start filming at 3ABN to do cooking programs. They asked me to start coming and cooking for employee dinners. They just kept me involved. And it was like right away, God was just starting to use me. I can't even tell you how long ago it was because I've been so busy, I can't pay attention. But I came to this crossroads in my life, and I just now noticed the clock. I thought I had unlimited time up here. There's the clock. And I thought, Lord, I'm happy, I'm doing what you want me to do, but this crossroad came into my life. And I had to make a decision to continue traveling, doing health seminars, or to stay home and get a job. Because I had family members that were becoming very ill. I had decisions to make. I had my family who was tugging at me, Mom, you need to be home. You need to be sitting on the porch rocking your grandbabies. I'm like, I'm too young to sit on the porch and rock my grandbabies. For the first time in my life, I feel good. I want to get out. I want to run. I want to enjoy my life. I love my family and I love you, but I feel like God has me doing a work that I really need to do. I feel so passionate about that. So when I came to this crossroads, I had to make a decision. Lord, am I doing this for me? Or am I doing it for you? Because if it's about me and I'm doing it for me, I don't want to do it anymore. I only want what you want me to do. If you have something else for me to do, that's fine. If it's nothing, that's fine. I don't care. I trust in the Lord so much that regardless, I know God is, if he's taking me to it, he's going to bring me through it. He's going to take care of me. I'd been up all night long with somebody in the hospital, had no sleep whatsoever, trying to talk to them, convince them that if they just made a lifestyle change, they wouldn't have to have these heart procedures. See, this person has now had 6 heart attacks with 7 stents. And still won't change their habits. And when I got back home that morning, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning. I was exhausted, no sleep. I just brain dead. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do now. So I need you to tell me now. I've never been one to kneel and demand, but I knelt that morning and said, Lord, I'm going to open up my Bible. And when I do, I need a confirmation. I have seminars scheduled. I have to be in Georgia. I have to be in Florida. I have these places I have to be. People are dependent on me. And in order to do that, I need your help. So when I open up that Bible, I must read something, Lord. You have to take me somewhere that tells me, yes, you're right where I want you, or no, we need to stop. And in a way, it burdened me because I thought, man, I really thought this is what the Lord wanted. How could I be blind by it? I crawled up in my bed and I opened up my Bible. Reluctantly, I didn't even want to look at the page I'd turned to. But I have a remnant Bible, if some of you are familiar with that Bible. So it has a lot of different excerpts of spirit of prophecy in it. And I went to Revelation. And when I seen it, I thought, man, there is nothing there going to help me with this dilemma. But there was this beautiful blue box. And there were these amazing words that caught my eye. Unfortunately, I left that Bible at home, so I had to write them out. So bear with me here. And I have to put these little glasses on because I think they're just really so cute. You know, the funny thing about it is I used to wear contacts. I wore contacts for about 15 years. When I changed my diet, guess what? I haven't worn contacts since. However, I do need something up close. You have 20. Oh, I do? My husband's sitting here with a book telling me I have 25 minutes. How do you know that? Oh, thank you. Can I talk that long? You bet. This is what I read. It was profound. Through all of our trials, we have a never-failing helper. Though now hidden from mortal sight, the ear of faith can hear his voice saying, fear not, for I am with you. However much a shepherd loves his sheep, he loves his sons and his daughters more. Jesus is not only our shepherd, he is our everlasting Father. Because we are the gift of his Father and the reward of his work. Jesus loves us. Reader, he loves you, therefore trust. that was the first time that it really hit me that, yes, it was me that Jesus loved. I didn't feel too loved at that time in my life. I had been married for 40 years, and I had been married in a very abusive relationship those 40 years. So I didn't know what love was except for at the back of a hand or an unkind word or something pretty tragic, to be honest with you. Even though I kept an outside appearance that everything was okay, that's what happens a long time to people that are abused. We don't want anybody to know about it. We're very secretive because we're very ashamed. We feel like it's something that we've done wrong. So when I read those words that morning, "Reader, he loves you," I felt that love. I forgot all about everything I had wanted. I forgot about the prayer I prayed that morning. I went looking for that book. It was in Desire of Ages, my very, very favorite book outside the Bible. My father used to be a call porter. So I have every book that Spirit of Prophecy had written, because my dad was pretty sure that every child in his family was going to have something from Ellen White, and most everything. Actually, I can remember sitting as a young child on the lap of Arthur Maxwell, reading and telling his stories. It was amazing. But I could not find one. I would always go into Goodwills and thrift shops, and I would buy Spirit of Prophecy books, and I would bring them home so I could give them away to people, because sometimes you'd find them there. And finally, one day, I thought, Melody, quit buying these books. Let somebody else have them, so that I'd just pray on the ones that were there from then on. But I could not find one of my Desire of Ages, except for this one. And I seen it out here in your hallway, and I'm like, yes, that's my favorite book. Bless you. You have no idea how this book touches the lives of people. People unexpecting to us what their needs are. I knew the pages would be different because I know how these books are condensed when they're smaller. So I knew the page number in my Bible was going to be very different in this book here. But I thought, I'm going to go there anyway. And I did. I just had this impression. I thought, I've got to go find this information. So I opened up my book. I went to that page, and I thought, oh, those words that gave me so much comfort, those words that spoke to me that morning, they still do today. It's hard for me to even go back there and think about it because I still go back and remember how emotional it was for me to think of God's love for me. Everybody else, yes, but not me. Christ came to heal the sick, to proclaim deliverance to the captives of Satan. He was in himself health and strength. In the Savior's manner of healing, there were lessons for his disciples. On one occasion, he anointed the eyes of a blind man with clay and bade him go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way there and washed and came seeing. The cure could be wrought only by the power of the great healer, yet Christ made use of the simple agencies of nature. While he did not give countenance to drug medication, he sanctioned the use of the simple and natural remedies. To many of the afflicted ones who received healing, Christ said, "Sin no more." Now, I often wondered about that. When Christ healed somebody, why did he tell them to sin no more? Oh, I thought about maybe sins in their life, but why go sin no more? And she says here, he knew that those who petitioned him for health had brought diseases upon themselves. Okay? So in other words, most of the healing that Jesus did on this earth was healing people of their own diseases, that lifestyle disease we call them today, correct? Okay? It gets better. To many of the afflicted ones who received healing, Christ said, sin no more, let a worse thing come upon you. Christ had been the guide and the teacher of ancient Israel, and he taught them that health is the reward of obedience to the laws of God. That great physician who healed the sick in Palestine had spoken to his people from the pillar of cloud, telling them what they must do and what God would do for them. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, he said, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you. These lessons are for us, she says. There are conditions to be observed by all who would preserve health and should learn what these conditions are. The Lord is not pleased with ignorance in regard to his laws, either natural nor spiritual. We are to be workers together with God in the restoration of health to the body as well as to the soul. And we should teach others how to preserve and to recover health. For the sick, we should use the remedies which God has provided in nature, and we should point them to him who alone can restore. I had no idea that morning when I prayed how profound the words through the Bible and the spirit of prophecy were going to be to me in my life, to all of us. I have a few quotes here that I want to read. This I ran across it years ago, forgot about it, out of sight, out of mind. Came across it again. Brenda and I were conversing back and forth, and we were talking about this very quote, and then we ran across it. The controlling power of appetite will prove the ruin of thousands who, if they had conquered on this point, would have had the moral power to gain the victory over every other temptation. But those who are slaves to appetite will fail of perfecting Christian character. The continual transgression of man for over 6,000 years has brought sickness, pain, and death as its fruits. And as we draw near the close of time, Satan's temptations to indulge appetite will be more powerful and more difficult to resist. I was a product of my own environment. Because of my abusive situation, food had become my best friend. I ate to comfort myself. Food became a comfort. Satan knew my weakness. He knew my weak moment when it started. I never had an appetite problem as a child. I never had a weight problem as a child. Only through after a couple years into my marriage, when all this started, I started to realize food helped heal some of my pain. Did it? No, absolutely not. Satan had me right where he wanted me. He wanted me weak and dependent on something else besides God. It is impossible for us to escape from this sin. It is impossible. All sin and appetite being one of the hardest to overcome. But who can? Who can? Jesus, he's given us the strength. Adam and Eve were perfect. They were sinless and in perfect health. Eve had everything in the garden to make her happy. She wanted nothing. Listen to this, women. She wanted nothing. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. My husband probably can't imagine. I can't imagine waking up one day and him saying, honey, what would you like today? Nothing. Where would you like to go? Nowhere. Is there anything I could do to make you happy? Honey, I'm as happy as I could possibly be. Everything is perfect. Wouldn't you guys just really love this? See, we do not possess that nothing box that you have. We don't have one of those boxes. We have nowhere to go but to just constantly think. That's our problem. We think too much as women. So to think that Eve was perfect, wanted nothing, and yet the fruit of the forbidden tree was more desirable to her. She was intemperate in her desires through the temptation of Satan. Appetite has controlled reason. And it's still that way today. We live in a world that is sick. A sick world, folks. We have some of the most famous doctors. We have hospitals with the latest technology, and yet every day we have more people die. Do you know that one person dies every minute of heart disease? It's amazing to me that we're all so sick. And as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, what do we have that's different from the world? Well, we're living like we have nothing. Because we gave our health message to the world. The world doesn't have the whole truth, but they have our health message now. Shame on us. Shame on us. She says we are to be a peculiar people. And I looked up peculiar, and I'm thinking, I want to see what some of this means. And it's a Latin word, and it means special. What makes us special to this world? What do we have that they want? Can you tell me? What do we have that they want? When they see us at the doctor's office taking the same medication they take, what do we have that they want? When they see us fat and out of shape, sad, unhealthy, do they want what we have as Christians? No. But you know, it could be different. Say, just in this congregation alone, there was not one lifestyle disease. And all of you were out shopping and out on the streets and out to town, and they're saying, what is it with those Seventh-day Adventists? Why are they all so healthy? Why aren't they taking medication? What's going on there? You know, every time you see them, that guy's walking. She's 65 years old. Hey, folks, I was walking 10 miles a day, 6 days a week, till I hurt my knee, jogging like I was 20 again. Seriously. What if we all started eating the way God intended for us to? Instead of eating out of our appetites, eating because it tastes good. Oh, Melody, I don't know if I could give up cheese. See, I love cheese. Hey, I was a cheeseaholic. I thought I was going to have to go to some kind of Cheese Anonymous to get off the stuff. And most Seventh-day Adventists are, because we just change one bad thing for another. And you know what? You couldn't make me eat it now. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to feel like I used to feel. Nothing special about me. I just listened. And I started reading. And I started following God's health laws. And guess what? God started to transform my life. Can you imagine me up here in a size 26? I still want to lose this weight that I need to lose. And you know what? It's not because I want somebody to say, oh, she looks good. I want them to say, she's a picture of health. What is she doing? At her age, she should be on medication or she should be sick. Why doesn't Melody ever get sick? I have never, ever canceled a seminar. One, I had to, not because I was sick. It was their fault. Anyway, I never canceled a seminar and never had to. Never had to cancel a TV program, never had to cancel an interview because my health remains the same. Yours can too. I'm just hoping that today, whatever words God gave me to say to you today, that you yourself will understand. We have a job to do. We owe our community. You want these pews busting in this church? Do you want to have to buy another building? Do you want to have to add on to your building? give them what Ellen White said we need to give them. The health message is the right arm of the three angels' message. And in these last days, there's no trust anymore. We need to reach them. We need to help them. We need to show them how they can be healed of their diseases, how they can reverse them. They can eliminate them. And by that, folks, by that, we can gain their trust and tell them about Jesus. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for what you've given us. Forgive us, Lord, for what we're not using. I just ask that whatever you want us to do, Lord, that we will say, use me. I'm willing. I'm ready. I don't care how old, how young. Use us, Lord. We want to go home. I want that mansion in heaven. But more than that, Lord, I want to see you. Thank you for giving your son to me so that I might have eternal life. I love you, Jesus. Go with us today. Keep us for you. In your name I ask. Amen.